You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
The helmet of salvation. Keep your camera down. I'm not finished yet. You should see the rest. I want Chris to come and tell us about making home a spiritual haven. Let's welcome Chris as she comes.
I'm not going to look at you. It's off-putting. So today we are continuing the theme of Christians at War that we've been talking about all this year. And the armour of God specifically today and how we can apply it to our own lives. And obviously I've got the helmet of salvation and it's represented by a shower cap today. So let me tell you why it's represented. The helmet of salvation is something to cover the head. It covers our minds in the spiritual sense. The real helmet of salvation covers our minds, our intellect, our reasoning and our thoughts. And Grace spoken a lot, and Nick, recently about the battle for the mind. So we know that's an area that really does need protection. The helmet's a defence against all the thoughts, the lies and the deceits that the enemy would want us to dwell on. So we know that the head is an important part to life. In fact, without a head, none of us would be alive here. So it's very important. Now, as Grace said, as mums, we set the atmosphere of our homes. It's part of our role as a homemaker, and it's what God has designed each one of us to do. No matter what stage of life you find yourself in, that's your role. Being a homemaker, and it's to make home a spiritual haven. And that's not a small task. Let me relate back to when I was a young mum with three small children and how I actually applied the helmet of salvation at that stage in my life. Life was very busy and there really wasn't time for anything else. In fact, finding time to have my quiet time was almost impossible. And I can remember often feeling condemned and guilty about not being able to spend that time in sitting down and studying the Word and reading the Word. But God showed me really clearly a beautiful principle which I apply to this day. And that was that it's important for us to share our whole day with God. Not just fit him into a portion of our life, but for him to be a part of our whole life. For me to share the whole day with him. And even though the quiet time just with the word and prayer is important, sharing your whole day is more important. You know, that was such a release to me because it was just something that used to make me feel guilty and condemned. So I began setting about to make that a pattern in my life of inviting God to be a part of my whole day so that I was walking with him every step of the way through every part of my day, in every minute of the day. So in essence, I was spending the whole of my day with him, in communication with him, relying on his truth to guide me every step of the way. And that still continues to be my pattern now, even though I'm in a different stage of life. So I found for me, having a shower was one of the only times I could find to have 1 minute to finish a thought. You know, as a mum, you get a thought that comes into your brain and then you've got kids and you can't finish that thought. And the shower was the time when I had that 1 minute spare without a little person.
Only 1 minute?
I like long showers.
20 minutes.
I do like long showers. But without a little person coming in and needing that immediate attention, or without there being a fight that needed to be sorted out, or an emergency of being hungry or thirsty that they couldn't wait another second, or a band-aid that needed to be applied, or a story to be heard from a little voice, or a tear to be wiped away, or maybe a deep and meaningful random question to be answered like, "Mum, why do flies have wings?" The constancy of all these little things in your life, the little young children's needs, we all know what it's like. Anyone who's a young mum knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's constant. As mums, we have such a huge amount of input and influence into our children, taking care of their every need, physically, emotionally, listening to their life's challenges and joys, and sharing, advising, and guiding them in their journey of life. They're such formative years, and they're so important for us to be a part of it because we have such an influence. And having the tools to do that is such an important thing. That's what being mum's all about. So this is where the helmet of salvation is such an important part in the life of a mum. It's important not only for yourself but also for your children, because as we wear the helmet and use it the whole day through, we're teaching and exampling to our families how to live life, how to cope with life, where we find our answers. Even without using words, our example is incredibly powerful. The helmet helps to focus our minds on what is important. It helps us to be clear-headed and not diverted with all the things that daily life brings to us. You know, when we keep the big picture in mind rather than the small little details, and realise that there's so many things that are of eternal value rather than the little short temporal things. It helps us to focus on what is true and right and what values we need to live by. So I would have a shower and I would set the focus for my day. I would reassess and I'd rearrange my thinking for the day ahead of me. I'd set the parameters and the guidelines of my thinking and my acting right from the very start of the day. So by dressing in the armour and placing on the shower cap on my head, I would cover my mind and my thoughts so that my thoughts and my day were directed to the values and the truth of the Word of God. And just quickly, a couple of scriptures, Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. What a great scripture for us as mums. We all need strength in our role, and we can renew it daily. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armour, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation.
The next piece of armour is our apron. I know I've got one in. You ever seen ladies do that? They shake it, they know it's there. I'm going to. Hang loose, Jean. How did I know it was you, Jean? How does that work? No, I don't need your help. No. I'm a man. Breastplate of righteousness, talking about keeping our home righteous. And I'm going to ask Deb Hunt if she'd like to come and share with us about how to keep our home righteous. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you. Yes, what a privilege it is to be a mum. That's Andrew when he was only a couple of days old. And when he had that piercing put in his face, my mind flashed back to when he was this age and I thought, oh, my baby, how could someone put steel through my baby? So I was quite distressed at the time, but, you know, I have to honour him because he then did go and take it out. And I did offer to pay for it because it was costly at the time, but he took it out, and that is just was always such a big thing for me to know that he honoured me that much that he would go and do that for me. So thank you, Andrew. So it is a privilege to be a mother. The breastplate, when I started to reflect on this piece of armour, I loved how it spoke to me about protecting the heart. As a mother, that would be one of my heartfelt cries, that I wanted to protect my boys' hearts. I could try, and I did, directing their friendships, wrapping them up in cotton wool, telling them what not to do, piercings, But ultimately, it was something that I couldn't do in my own strength. I had to hand them over to God. Even now, as they're young men, I still pray that their hearts would be protected. I will always be their mother. I could, however, protect the heart of our home, which in our case was the kitchen. I think the heart of each home is maybe different, but I saw the heart of our home as the kitchen because that's, I love to cook, and that's where love for my family came into it. There was a time when I wasn't working and the boys were young. I was determined that every night when they came home from school that the house would have the aroma of baked treats. I wanted to make memories for them, showing them love and being there for them. When I asked recently the boys what they remembered of growing up, one of them said Rollo cakes and the other one said that you were always there. And, you know, it sounds so simple, but in the day we live in, I think that's just really special. The other area of the breastplate was righteousness. How as a mother could I bring rightness into our home? And as I reflected on this, I think it was putting Jesus at the centre of it all. He was and is the centre of our home. There's a song that I listen to and it says, everything revolves around you, Jesus. And I, looking back, as the boys were little, I think that's how it was in our family. I know it was. We encouraged, taught and led our boys by example. From a young age, they developed a love for God and also for his house. They saw Richard and I serving and that's what they wanted to do too. Not to serve out of duty, but out of a heart of love for God. They attended kids club and youth. And if there was ever a time when they were young and they said, we don't want to go, we would encourage them and tell them, yep, it's good for you to be there. And what else are you going to do? Being proactive in guiding them to make right decisions, praying for them that one day they would have their own experience with God. We are extremely blessed with two wonderful sons and two beautiful daughter-in-laws who have hearts after God and put Jesus at the centre of their home. We also have the most gorgeous little grandson, Judah, and I'm in awe of watching him grow and develop and pray that one day Jesus will be the centre of his life. So mums, everyone, remember the importance of the breastplate.
Now the next piece of armour is the belt of truth, and as I thought about that, it would have to be the handbag. Every mum's belt of truth, every tool bag that any mum carries is there. You name it, it's in there. That true? Men, you don't know, but that's true. Anyone wants something, it's in there. And you do, you hear them rattle. I think it's the typical thing that ladies do. They go, and hoping that the thing that they've rattled comes to the top. Little do they know that every time they rattle it, it goes to the bottom. Anyhow, I've asked if Shona would like to come and share with us about the belt of truth, the tool bag that every mum has to carry. And Shona's got three lovely little girls. How old's the youngest one? How old's Pippa? 8 months old. So she is flat out busy. Let's welcome Shona.
I had a look in my handbag when we were talking about, well, after we talked about this, and I reckon I could probably do about a 10-week series on this with all the stuff that I've got in there. But anyway, these couple of things really stood out to me, and the first one was my phone, and that was all about staying connected. One of my girls, when she was little, she was a great sleeper. She used to sleep for like 14 hours at night. It was awesome. But then one day, she went from being a good sleeper to a really bad sleeper. She would be really hard to settle, and this went on for like 2 or 3 years. It was really bad, on and off. It was really bad. So I spoke to other mums and I read books and they all gave me ideas, and I even watched Super Nanny and she gave me ideas, and we tried many things. We stayed in her room with her. We kept putting her back to bed and ignoring her. We shut her door, but nothing worked. I'd prayed about it before, but one day I was praying about it and it was like I had, you know how you have those light bulb moments when you're praying sometimes? I had one of those, and it was like God was saying to me, you're the problem. If you don't react, then she won't, you know, she won't act up as much. And if she misbehaves, you need to explain to her that she'll miss out the next day. It's all about her choice. And so I did. She was about 3 and a half at this stage, so she knew. She could understand. And so she acted up, and it was a bad night. And the next morning, I did one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I went to the shops, and I ordered a coffee, and I had two girls with me, and I ordered one Baby Gino. and we had to sit in the, it was really, it was, even now it's like, we sat in the food court and she cried and I cried and I explained to her that it's all about, you know, her making good choices and all that kind of stuff. And this is about staying connected. And it's important to stay connected and do life with other people that are in a similar stage to you. They can empathise and encourage, and everybody needs that. But the truth is, we need to stay connected to God as well. People have good ideas, but they're not always great. But God knows his best, and he knows our kids best. And if we stay connected to him, he will never fail us. The other stuff that I've got in my bag at the moment because of Pippa are nappies and wipes, and they're obviously to clean up the mess. One day, one of my kids, same kid actually, had disobeyed me. This is just recently. And she knew she'd done it. She came and told me what she'd done. And so I was chatting to her about the fact that it was, you know, if I can't trust her to do the right thing, then she won't be able to have the same freedom, you know, all that kind of stuff. And she lost the plot at me. She thought I was being very unfair. And so we waited until she calmed down a bit. And then I was talking to her about the fact that it's not okay for her to speak to me like that. She needed to respect her parents. And then I kind of had this gem and I said, what does the Bible say about that? And she said, oh, obey your mother and father. And I said, well, do you know what the rest of that is? And I said, so that you can live long in the land that God gives you. And she looked up at me and she burst into tears. I don't want to die. And so then we had to wait for her to stop crying, and I explained to her that it wasn't about the fact that she was going to die young because she'd gone too far away from home. It was just about that God wants to bless us and he wants the best for us, but we have to make the right choices in life. And for her at this stage, one of the right choices that she needs to make is to respect and obey her parents, and then everything will be fine for her. The truth is there are consequences for decisions we make in life, good ones and bad ones. And the Bible can help our kids make right decisions. So I reckon as a parent you can use it and it will help clean up the mess. The last thing that I thought about was lipstick, and it's all about watching your mouth. I know this will be a shock to many of you that know me, but I have had moments where I've not been a perfect mother. I've said things that I shouldn't have, and usually it's out of tiredness and frustration, and usually because they don't understand the gravity of the situation, that they've done something wrong and they don't care enough about it, I don't think, but anyway. Proverbs 15:3 says that kind words can heal and help, but cutting words wound and maim. You know that the saying that sticks and stones will break your bones but words will never hurt me? Well, that's a lie. This is not about discipline. Kids need discipline and direction and boundaries. But this is about me recognising the power of my words. The truth is that words can hurt. And as a mother, I need to be aware of what I say, how I say it, and why I'm saying it. So, mums, let's put some lipstick on and watch our mouths.
Next piece of armour we have is the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, you're going to love these. No, I don't need that. I'm not wearing any. The next piece of armour that we have is our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I don't know about you, but there's something special about coming into a home that has peace. And I also know that that doesn't happen because of me. I would come home from work and I am a neat freak. I hate blocks. I hate toys. I hate anything on the floor. I like to come in and everything's got to be put in its right spot. And it was Chris that made certain that happened. Ring me before you leave work. Quick, Dad's coming home. And I just honour our mums for the way they bring peace into our house. Amanda Burrows, you are here. I forgot to look to see. Amanda was supposed to sing last night. She's lost her voice, so it's okay. Let's welcome Amanda.
Yeah, I didn't have much voice yesterday and I still don't have much today, so I hope you can understand me. But I really needed peace yesterday. So peace is essential to mothering. Who doesn't know that? Peace is an inner calm and tranquility, a clear-headed, restful confidence. It's worshipful. Who remembers the song, I've got peace like a river? Yep, you get me. It's a provision of God for us, accomplished at the cross. I go back to the cross and meditate and worship over what Jesus has achieved for me. I must make peace a priority and a foundation which governs my thoughts, feelings and behaviour if it's ever going to be something that's a foundation in our household. As a mum, I've got to focus amidst often chaotic outward reality on the character of God and his sovereign plans and purposes. One day I'll share with my boys the amazing gift of grace by faith that God gave to me during the trial of my own mum's illness and death 10 years ago, a gift of trusting peace which came from above and that helped me to stand firm in the face of my distress and confusion and grief. I hold tight to the memory of that God is in control peace. And I hold tight to it, particularly on Mother's Day of all days. But for the everyday challenges and battles in a mum's life, where the battle is perhaps less obvious, we need to hold on to that peace in equal measure. So what is the preparation of the gospel of peace? Well, I think that it could be taken as being a readiness to share the gospel. I really strive at home to take every opportunity to share about Jesus with our boys and to share with them how God intersects and blesses us every day. And I try to take every opportunity that comes by to do that. However, another idea that also works is a sense of steadiness. A soldier can't lose his or her footing or they will be defeated in war. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So the gospel produces for us peace, and this gives us a steadiness which helps us to stand firm in battle. One of Satan's plans is to rob me of peace by pushing doubts on me and fears. He wants me to panic and think and feel and do things that are unhelpful. But as in 1 Peter 5:9, I need to resist him steadfast in the faith. As a mum, I play a big role with my husband to make way for peace in my boys' lives and to preserve peace in our home. So through praying together, singing, reading the children's Bible every night at dinner and applying godly discipline, we teach them and prepare the way for them to be at peace with God and at peace with each other. Also, I can have lots of anxiety. I think mums can. We just have so many things out there to be anxious about. However, that's not helpful. It's not actually really honouring to God, and it's distracting to our worship and our warfare. So I work on pursuing peace, and I apply that verse in Philippians 4:4-9, which you know very well, be anxious for nothing. I can also keep the peace by walking in love, in light, in wisdom, in the spirit, and in submission in our home. So I keep my moccasins on, sharing Christ along with Matthew, and nurturing that precious peace in our family life, and having on my spiritual feet a strong preparation of peace that comes from Christ. I raise my boys to be able to stand firm, to be able to receive Christ's peace first and to be able to stand firm in the face of the enemy's schemes.
The next piece of armour is the shield of faith. And the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, as I grew up in a family of four boys and watched the horror of my mum many times, I have a brother who is mentally retarded, and he used to do some things that used to bring her quite a lot of disquiet, to the point that sometimes she didn't want to go outside just in case one of the neighbours saw her. And you know, even thinking back now, I realise that we brought her much angst. And I'm just consciously aware of how often our mums have to put up their shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of condemnation or guilt, or you're the worst mum in the world, or what will others think, or if you were a better mum, you'd be doing it this way. And so I'm going to ask Joyce Simpson if she'd like to come. Oh, wait, no, I've got my shield of faith. Electronic fly swatter. These are the best things since sliced bread, okay? You should hear it when you hear the fly. It is brilliant. Thanks, Joyce. Let's welcome Joyce as she comes to share.
Thank you. Well, as a Christian parent, I believe that the children God gave us came with their potential, their gifts and their talents and their ability already imprinted by God into their very being. I believed and still believe that the piece of precious gold that's found in every child was to be nurtured, cherished, and that as a parent, it was my responsibility to love and train a child in the way he should go. To teach my children that God's way was the best way, starting with salvation and doing things his way to fulfil their God-given potential for their life. This was my calling as a mother. Faith is a reliance and a trust in and a belief founded on authority. And for me, the Bible always tells the truth. When I was a teacher, that was one of the things that I would say to the children time and time again. The Bible always tells the truth. I believe God always answers prayer and that he gives us the desire of our heart. If we seek him with all our heart and our first desire is God first, I believe that God would give me with my children wisdom, insight, understanding and guidance. And that's the truth. He will. But what happens when, as a parent, when I really love my children, but I make wrong choices, I despair, I doubt, I get frustrated, I do my things my way regardless. In fact, I really mess things up as a parent. This is where my faith as a mum is really challenged. But the love of God is huge, and he pours out his grace in so much abundance. It's so much more than we can ever truly believe or understand. I look back now and I know that God looked at the intent of my heart. He knew my strengths and my weaknesses even before I had my children. He waits for me to seek forgiveness and to accept his grace and move on, believing that he will still enable me to be the best mum for my children that I can be. What do you do when a child who is an adult makes a wrong choice? What do you do when you see that child not doing things God's way? What do you do when you see that child simply mucking up his or her life? What do you do as a mum? You hold fast to the faith that God is what he says he is. You believe that God is still omnipresent. He's everywhere. You hold fast to the fact that he's omniscient, that he knows everything, that he's omnipotent, that he's all-powerful. Is it painful? Definitely yes. At times, does your heart break? Certainly. Is your faith challenged? Yes, yes, yes. Can I feel condemned? Yes. But then I've learnt that condemnation is not in the kingdom of God, and I know where that comes from. Do I wish that I'd done things differently? Oh, yes, I do. But God is who he says he is. He is Lord. He will do what he says he will do, but it's going to be in his time. Am I challenged when I think of and I hear people say God's intention is to do good and I don't see it happening. I know that I know what I know, but God knows what it will take for my child to come into a right relationship with Jesus. And I've had to accept the fact that God knows my kids better than I know them myself. What about when your family's in PNG and you wake up in the middle of the night and you get these terrible thoughts about what could happen and what might happen? What do you do about that? Because in the middle of the night, it's a horrible time to wake up and to have these darts coming at you and these doubts and the uncertainty. And there's only one thing. You call out to God and you just tell him that he's the big God and that he has the children, my children, in the palm of his hand. What a relief. What a comfort to know that I have a God who cares. What about a single daughter in the depths of Africa living in a remote, isolated community? How dare God put her there without a husband? How dare God take her away from her family and from me, her mum? How dare he? How do I reconcile that with God's love? Do you know he's still the same God, yesterday, today and forever? He's all-powerful. He's the same God there as he is here. He's everywhere and he is the one whose love enables her to do what she has to do and for me to be the mum that I have to be. And he has my children in the palm of my hand. And I can say with a surety, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I don't always have to understand, but I do need to trust the strength and love and the promises of my God, even when he doesn't do things my way. That is hard. This is my faith as a mother. The darts of the enemy are constant, they're fiery and they're evil. But my God is greater, he's more empowering, and I know that I'm on the winning side, and I'll see my kids in heaven loving and praising God as I know that that is his desire.
Next piece of armour is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And you know, Jill Oxley is a lady who I have admired and admire. Amazing way that she uses the word. I've watched her in prayer warfare. I've listened to her often pray. I watch her with her husband, Pastor Hal. And I just love the way that she uses the word of God. So, Jill, the wooden spoon, brings boundaries and guidelines into our lives and into our houses. Amen. Let's welcome Jill as she comes to share.
Had a senior moment. What am I doing here? You think I'm joking? When Graham asked me to speak on the Word of God and its boundaries and its discipline in a family, I immediately thought of the scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own mind and heart. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. I have had the privilege of being a guest in some homes overseas, and here in Australia having people in the home. And I have seen these parents, some of them, in dealing with their children. And when their children have been disobedient, have been critical or selfish or with wrong attitudes, these parents have then taken their child very gently to the Word of God. When they're little, they've sat down with them, and as we heard from Shona, use the Word of God to instruct them and show them how it grieves the heart of God and the consequences that can come from wrong attitudes in their own lives and in the lives of those they love. Apart from the very, very necessary reading of the Word and praying as a family each day, the children need to know what God thinks about their every attitude, about their every word. When they were older, these children were then asked to go to their room and find for themselves what the Word of God said about a certain attitude, and then to seek His forgiveness as they prayed to Him. They had their concordance and their Bible, and they were taught to study those books. Those families that I know of, that I have followed through, those children have grown up with a passion for God. They love Him with all their heart, and they have married partners with that same passion. Some of them are serving God in ministry, others are serving God just as we do in our lives, ordinary lives. But they are children of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, I thought this summed it up beautifully. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, that is, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. God bless.
The last weapon that God has given us is praying, praying in the Spirit or prayer in itself. And I just know that a house filled with prayer is a house of peace. Mark Cocaine, why don't you come and share with us? And I know that having a husband like Dale, you need every bit of peace you can possibly have. Oh, hi, Dale. I didn't know you were here.
I don't know who you are. Home, prayer is an important thing, and it's something I am very, very grateful to God that it is important. I grew up in a home where family devotions were part of our morning, reading the Bible and praying from about late primary school age onwards. My dad was very, very determined that we would do it. He said, it'll be good reading practice for you. We were reading the Living Bible at that stage. And then when we moved on from school into jobs, he made sure that we still had family devotions. Phil had an apprenticeship, so he had breakfast first, and Marg and Cliff got up a bit later, but after Phil's breakfast and before Cliff and Marg's breakfast, that's when we would read and pray. So it fitted in. Mum was not a morning person, so she had a strong cup of tea, but she was always there at the family devotions at the kitchen table. Dale's family was also into prayer, and his mum in particular liked to pray. A few years after Dale and I were married, when I was finding it a bit hard to hold on to my peace and rest in the Lord, we decided to pray together in the mornings. You know, two is better than one. So propped up in bed, me with my cup of tea and Dale with whatever book we were reading a bit of, we would start every work morning, every work day that way, reading something together and praying together. It might sound a little bit super spiro to some of you, but we didn't think of it that way. It worked for us. Every now and then we would get inspired by something we read, and the praying always focused us with our believing. For me in particular, it was a kind of a pillar. There were times, of course, when family devotions was a bit rote. Sorry, not family devotions. Devotions just with Dale and me became a bit rote. We'd read and we'd pray and then we'd just get on with it. But we pushed through those times when it seemed a bit rote and we got to the treasures. We wanted our kids to get prayer as a priority as well, so we had reading and prayers after dinner. We don't do the family prayers as much nowadays, but even just between Dale and me, it's only a couple of mornings a week these days. But in our family, we often say, let's just pray about that. And lastly, we're talking about the armour of God this morning, so just a word about praying in the Spirit, the seventh weapon. What was the thing you had for prayer? So just a word about praying in the Spirit, the seventh weapon. I discovered a while ago that praying in the Spirit actually built me up. It says that in Scripture, praying in the Holy Spirit, building up your most holy faith. I always felt more rested and refreshed after praying in the Spirit. So sometimes when I feel the need, I have this little routine that I get into. Get home from work. Hopefully nobody's home, but if somebody is, I close the doors. Close the doors to the lounge room. Make myself a cup of coffee. Put it on the table in the lounge room, and then I walk around the lounge room and pray in the Spirit. And every third or fourth cycle, I have a sip of coffee. And more often than not, I am rested and refreshed. More so, I think, than if I had sat down on the couch to have my coffee. So again, it works for me. 10, 15 minutes tops. And I am so grateful to the Lord for this way of Him praying through me. Not trying to pretend that it's smooth sailing at our house. Quite the contrary from time to time. But we like to pray. We like to use the seventh weapon. We like to commit things to the Lord. We like having His peace. We like getting His answers. And we like being rested.
I hope you've enjoyed hearing from many of our mums this morning. We honour our mums. We honour the ladies that God has given us. We honour ladies in this church. And we truly believe that they are the haven makers. And mums, we thank you for what you do.